On the next episode of Sips, Suds, and Smokes.
Today marks the triumphant return of our prodigal son, good old boy Reverend Mark. From the wilds of Maryland, he has blessed us with a short visit and has brought some goodies with him in the form of a flight of beer from Elder Pine Brewing and Blending Company in Gaithersburg, Maryland.
The Elder Pine Brewing and Blending beers we'll be trying today are EP Pils, a German Pilsner, Moonscribe Volume 9. I think that's 9. I'm
four.
Not sure on my root.
Volume
is that 4?
Four?
Four.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you go with Roman numerals, you're going to mess me up. Volume IV. How does that sound?
There you go.
Belgian Blonde Ale. Summon the Moon Lord from 2025, an English barley wine. Double barrel through woven branches, a dark lager. And if we have time, we just might have a bonus beer.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another suds segment where we love old things. In fact, when I look around at the table, all I see are...
Hey. I resemble that.
Never mind. I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana. Joining me today at the table is good old boy Kendall.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm so good. So happy to have you here. And wait, who's that guy there? Wait.
Yeah.
What?
This is not theatrical
stuff. How did you sneak in?
You smuggled him in across the border.
Reverend Mark.
Hello.
Oh my gosh.
From the great beyond. Great to be here.
Cool. Oh my gosh. Good boy, Sparky. How are you?
Scarpy.
I feel great.
Yeah, little personal thing there. And good old boy, Dave. How are you?
Hi. I've got a personal thing too. But I'm not going to share it.
Oh.
Because it's personal.
Okay. That makes sense. Are you going to give yourself a ding?
Well, sure. Give myself a ding ding.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Well, today marks the triumphant return of our prodigal son, good old boy, Reverend Mark. Wow, that's a mouthful.
That was a lot of marks.
But
you know, the prodigal son came looking for a handout, so at least I brought some beer.
Fair.
That's right. That's
fair.
Right.
That is fair. from the wilds of Maryland. He has blessed us with a short visit and has brought some goodies with him in the form of a flight of beer from Elder Pine Brewing and Blending Company in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Reverend Mark, why don't you give us a little bit about Elder Pine and why you wanted to bring some of their beer with you today for us to share?
Well, you know, being so displaced in a part of the country that does have really some serious beer foundational kind of companies. I think, you know, I'm very close to Kennett Square and the Victory Brewing. So I was looking for something that was doing similar kinds of work to, say, like Barrique here in Nashville with blending and barreling. As soon as we moved to Elkton, Maryland, I got to know the beer curator, I'll call him, at the State Line Liquor and Beer Store. From the highway, it doesn't look like much, but you get in there and it is a beer emporium. Long story short, he steered me immediately in the direction of Elder Pine, saying that, you know, it's a one-off company. They're doing blending and barreling. And on Mondays, they always get new product. For a little over a year, you know, I've been kind of selecting things as they come out. Now, I brought samples today only of clean beer, But you know, they're very much into mixed fermentations and just
nice
crazy wild stuff as well.
Cool.
So they are very well known with beer aficionados of varying degrees, but they don't have a huge distribution, maybe 2,000 barrels a year, self-distributing company. But I have been just very pleased with everything they're putting out, especially I'd say 2 out of 3 of the beers that drop on Monday are typically some kind of lager.
Oh, nice.
So anyway, we can talk about the ones that I've brought. But
cool.
I really appreciate the guys at the brewery. I don't know them all that well personally yet, except I've just been in conversation with them. And Paul Davidson, their brewer, is really looking at doing what he wants to do only. And he's being very successful with that, meaning that I'm just brewing the beers that I personally want to drink.
Sure.
And it seems like everybody kind of agrees with his taste. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in this day and age, kudos. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome. That's
well, we did cover an Elder Pine beer back on a Maryland takeover a few years ago.
Oh, really?
An episode called The Boom Boom Room. So everybody should go check that out. But I am glad we get to focus exclusively on the brewery this time. And for you guys at Elder Pine, when you listen to this, if you're looking for a part-time reverend to come in and bless all of your new beers and taste them for you, I'm sure Reverend Mark could be.
I am there.
Yeah.
There you go.
He would be the perfect guy.
He's a cheap date, so get him in there.
So we hear. Okay. Good old boy Kendall, why don't you give us today's lineup?
The Elder Pine Brewing and Blending beers we'll be trying today are EP Pils, a German Pilsner, Moonscribe, Volume 9. I think that's 9. I'm
four.
Not sure on my route.
Oh,
is that 4?
Four.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you go with Roman numerals, you're going to mess me up. Volume IV. How does that sound?
There you go.
Belgian Blonde Ale. Summon the Moon Lord from 2025, an English barley wine. Double barrel through woven branches. A dark lager. And if we have time, we just might have a bonus beer.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Yes.
Gotta love the bonus beers. Okay.
So we will be tasting these and rating them from 1 to 5 as we go.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get to the first
beer.
Beer. Ha, that's cute. Okay. What we're passing around at the table right now is the Pilsner, otherwise known as the EP Pils. It is 5% ABV. Classic Pilsner brewed with the finest German barley and Czech hops that money can buy. It's dry and crisp as a German Pilsner and with bold flavors and aromatics of a Czech Pilsner. Ah, see what they did there?
Considering the age group of the table, it's probably good we're having EP Pils and not ED Pils.
Yeah.
I really like the cans, the design of the cans. It's just really simple. And
it's really, yeah, it's just cool looking though.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is.
Tough.
From afar, it almost looked like a crab. And then I realized it was something more medieval.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So what's everyone's tasting notes?
It's a really nice Pilsner. I mean, it smells the way you think a Pilsner is going to smell, you know, just
right on the nose.
A little bit of graininess from the
exactly
grain. Yep. And there's a little, you know, just a hint of maybe some spicy hops, but not much.
Yeah.
Because they did say some Czech style in there, but boy, it's beautiful.
I think it has a very tight mouthfeel too. It's just the crisp, the effervescence of it is kind of tight and then opens up.
Lightly drying on your mouth, you know, which is nice.
It's so well made. It doesn't remind you of many American Pilsners. This has got those old world flavors.
What's the ABV on this sucker?
5.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Perfect.
Just perfect.
Right? Yeah.
And this is one of my go-to beers. It's their only, I won't say only, but it's their sort of their perennial beer that they're always brewing. And most God everything else is just sort of coming out and possibly coming back, but this is a mainstay.
Reverend Mark, have you shotgunned one of these yet?
Yes.
You have? Okay, thank you. I just needed to know how that works. Okay.
And, I'm sure it would be easy.
And this is one of those beers where, you know, if you ask yourself, is this a really excellent, even great beer? You know, one criteria is, can I drink 3 of these in a row?
I will take that challenge.
I could drink 3 of these in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, at least. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Even at a 16-ounce can, these are crushable.
Yep. Sparky, what are you going to pair with this food-wise?
I mean, I'm sorry. I like immediately went to this. This would be so great with some like hot chicken. Like I thought that this would just pair so well with that and
cool you off a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like just it would cut into the heat really well. I think specifically if I was going to choose a place, it'd probably be some Bolton's fried chicken. Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. When I took the first drink of this, that was what I wanted was either to do yard work or have some delicious food to go along with it. One of the two. Yeah. I got yelled at yesterday because I got done cleaning up all the leaves around my house and I had a shower beer and my wife was like, are you drinking beer in the shower? Yes. And yes, I am. This it's is my like reward.
Why isn't everyone drinking beer in the shower?
And I would have so much rather had this beer rather than what I did have.
Yeah.
So.
Well, very good. So what shall we rate this? As if there's, yes. Okay, so the EP Pills from Elder Pine Brewing and Blending, we are going to rate a 5. Well, we will be back in just a minute with more.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. Today's episode is a brewery takeover by our prodigal son, Reverend Mark, who has come back to visit with us for a minute.
Welcome, Real Dinguses.
Hallelujah.
Yes. So he brought some beer from Elder Pine Brewing and Blending in Gaithersburg, Maryland. And I believe I have been to that brewery in a quest in Maryland to get some beer one time a long time ago. And I remember it being nice because it's
in Montgomery County and it's maybe 20-30 miles from DC. It's not that far.
Yeah. In relation to Baltimore, yeah. I remember it was very quick.
I thought they only made Natty Bo in Maryland.
Well, they allow a couple other brewers to do some things from time to time, but man, I miss Natty Bo
all day.
Man, yeah. I miss that. Sorry. Yes, I'm showing my roots. Okay. Onward and upward. Let's go to a Belgian blonde. Not one in particular. Well, actually one in particular. This is called the Moonscribe Volume 4. It is 6.6% ABV.
Am I?
Hopped with Ruaca and aged Solera style in their American oak fooders. Solera is an act of removing only a portion of the beer from the fooder and then replenishing it with fresh wort to re-ferment and continue to age in oak with traces of every batch before it, in case you don't know what a Solera is. They do that with whiskey too sometimes, right? I remember American Solera doing that Oklahoma, right?
Who's that brewery in Catawampus, North Carolina? Not Catawampus.
Catawba?
No. Paul and Wapak.
Fontiflora?
No.
I feel like you're just making up words now. Like none of those were actual words.
I think you're trying to take my Pennsylvania
Hunt the Wampus.
The one that's under the Paul and Wapak General Store.
Oh, yes. Hmm. I'm glad I didn't think about this. We were there.
Yeah, they do this little table beer. And it's slightly funky, but it's a Solera. So,
but it's okay. Just because they're backwashing into a Solera, and then
well, the dishwasher from the general store rolls down
that one.
Paula Wapak, North Carolina. That's where the brewery is.
Okay, so for volume, back to the beer.
Yeah,
back
which
to the
beer are we talking about?
Okay, yes, we are talking about the Moonscribe Belgian Blonde. So for this volume, volume 3, you can expect notes of fresh squeezed grapefruit juice, spring hay, bazooka bubble gum, he said bazooka, stewed pears, and classic Belgian spice.
Wow, there definitely is a little bit of bazooka bubble gum in that. But this is beautiful.
Wow.
It's such an interesting beer to do a Solera on. Usually they're a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. They got bigger personalities. To do it off a blonde,
that's
just weird. That little bit of funk. It's so smooth. It's light.
You definitely get the citrus on the nose, too. Yeah. Like, before I tasted it, I was expecting more of that in the flavor, but not so much.
It's really enjoyable.
And you can't get away from bazooka now that you've said bazooka bubblegum. That's like one of those, like, complete, like, unavoidable. Yeah.
A lot of lemon.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Hall River. Sorry. Sorry to bust right back into this. Okay. Saxaba Hall, North Carolina. Hall River. Yes. Sorry. I'm done. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. This beer's awesome, though.
Look, I was going through my filing cabinet to figure out where. Yes,
my filing cabinet's empty.
I love the finish on this too. It's really,
It's a creaminess, but it ends like it doesn't linger. It's that's.
But there's
really nice.
There's also a spice and a mineral aspect on the finish with me too. So it's a little cleansing, semi dry.
It's like holy water.
Yeah,
you're right. It's a little chalky on the finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was the ABV on this?
6.6.
Wow, that's
does not taste like it.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't.
That's good.
This is a very crushable 6.
If you would have said like this was a 4% beer, I would believe you because I would just think it was a very flavorful 4. But it's so light and just delicate.
You know, Kendall, I commented on he's wearing a Celebration Fresh Hop sweatshirt right now, and I've been drinking so much of that right now, and I love the malty backbone of that beer, like, because I just don't think you get that a lot. And that's like, I think a 6.8 beer. Like, this is so deceptive. I know what I'm getting myself into when I drink that beer. It's like, I'm committing to drinking. This is going to mess me up fast. This would absolutely come like a thief in the night.
This is a sneaky blonde.
And you could almost serve it in a champagne flute or something.
Yes.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure. But what an approachable beer, though, too. Like, I could see a lot of different people trying this beer and enjoying it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's a gateway beer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because
as well.
Right. I mean, because if you say Belgian blonde, that might turn some people off into thinking, oh, well, this isn't going to be tasty. It's just going to be.
Especially if you say Solera aged barrel age, barrel age. Yeah. They're like no.
What?
Yeah, just give me a beer.
Yeah, right. I don't. Right. Yeah, it's going to lose people. And I'm very curious, like, what was the deal with volumes 1 through 3? Is it just, you know, building off the same Solera base and, you know, batch after batch? Or
maybe tweaking it. I don't know. But yeah, kudos. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I'd have to dig into some notes on those because I have bought the 3 as well as the 4. And I think the 5 is coming out maybe tomorrow.
Oh, wow. So, gotcha.
We expect a full report. Yeah,
right. Yes, yes, we do. Okay, but I mean, that kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Kendall, what are you going to have with this beer?
Probably like a little cheese charcuterie tray.
Yeah.
Mm,
yeah,
that especially makes sense. Some little funky cheeses would go nicely with the beer.
You could do that. And, and like Reverend Mark said, put in a flute. And
That would really play well off of.
Oh, yeah, nice charcuterie.
You could feel all fancy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can see a little liverwurst, but.
Oh, yeah, man. You just reminded me. I just picked up some pâté recently that my family doesn't know about. And because I always hide my charcuterie from my family.
Are you still doing that?
I am.
Closet charcuterie.
Forgive me. There's a secret charcuterie drawer in one of the refrigerators in my home that my family never looks for.
Never go into daddy's secret refrigerator.
What are you doing down there, daddy? Shush.
I thought you had it in the back of a revolving bookshelf.
That's my next phase. Yeah.
Refrigerated.
Yes, but thank you for saying liverwurst because that just reminded me, man, I need to eat that stuff before it goes bad. Okay.
Yeah. My pate for it.
That's awesome.
First world problems.
So,
so true.
What shall we rate the Moon Scribe?
I can go either way.
Yeah, which way you want? Where's the crowd taking us, baby?
Crowd's taking us to 5.
All right.
All right. So the Moon Scribe, we are giving a 5.
And these guys are bad and great. I don't know if you're like going to throw one of their canned seltzers at us next to just help us wreck their rap.
The seltzer is going to come next. You know, it's interesting. All of these beers, the names on them is very like medieval-y. Mm-hmm. Is Gaithersburg a medieval town?
No.
These guys are just nerds.
Okay, that's fine.
The thing is, Elder Pine also originated in a 1718 acre lot that was a Christmas tree
farm
ranch.
So
they had to clear all these pines out, you know.
And there are pines all around that were there.
Yeah, and it's a great music venue as well. They have great outdoor.
Yes, I do remember that. But I remember that about a few of the breweries in Maryland, is that they all had these like really great outdoor stages, you know, in fact, there was a couple, I think, that I went to that had like tents, you know, like big tents that you could have like tables and sort of like just hang out, and lots of great seating, like all over the place.
Right.
Anyways, we will return with more in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf. Iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. So today's episode is a brewery takeover of Elder Pine Brewing and Blending in Gaithersburg, Maryland. The next beer that we are going to get into is Summon the Moon Lord, which is an English barley wine. 16% ABV, for the faint of heart. So this English-style barley wine was boiled for 24 hours for intense natural caramelization. Could you imagine?
That's hardly ever done.
I know. As a home brewer,
even as a home brewer, I don't go that. So kudos to these guys for that.
Then on top of that, it was aged in Heaven Hill bourbon barrels for 18 months. Due to their precise brewing process and fermentation profile, the beer is unbelievably smooth with very little alcohol burn, given the extremely high alcohol content. They smell and taste very prominent impressions of super reduced caramelized fig compote, bourbon pecan pie, raisin bran, caramel candies, and old wooden tobacco boxes.
I'm glad to hear about that raisin bran, because I've been feeling a little irregular lately. You know,
I miss that cereal.
Yeah.
Look at the legs on this thing, man.
It's just swirling around.
So thick.
It really adds to the experience.
This is the second year this has come out. And from what I understand, I didn't have this last year, but in talking to the beer curator at State Line Liquors, he said that immediately, because it's very limited release, went on the black market, and that this was going for $60 a can.
And you got a retail?
Yeah, that was last year. Okay. So this year it was more reasonably priced. But
River Mark had to beat a man to death in the parking lot.
I was going
to
say, I don't want to see what the how that all went down.
Well, the brewery didn't charge. They didn't charge, but that became the black market price. So,
well, definitely on the nose. I mean, all of the dark fruits,
all of it,
of it at once.
I mean, it's really good. Is it $60 a can good? I don't. I mean, that's hard for me to say.
It's definitely has alcohol inside it. Is another thing that I've noticed from drinking it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so big. Honestly, part of me is like, this is too much.
I kind of think the same.
This may sound weird, but I like my barley wines to be drinkable. A good fresh barley wine, I can't think of an English one, but even like a Bigfoot, just when it's fresh, it's so good. But it's 16% with a 24-hour boil. This is just like over the top in every way. And if that's what you're into, great. And it's well made. It's just
very concentrated.
It's hard for me to drink more than a few ounces of this.
I was going
to
say, intense. I think like a 2-ounce pour is about
it's a lot.
I would say it's an aperitif.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Treat this like a liqueur.
In a 16-ounce can, not shotgunning.
Share this with six or eight people.
Yeah. If you do decide to shotgun a can of this, go ahead and dial 9-1.
Yeah. So you're ready. And lay down some like towels or plastic, you know, because we all know where this is going.
Just stand inside a kiddie pool.
Yeah. You know? Ooh, that's a pro move right there.
See, I could see this as a dessert beverage alongside an espresso. Espresso,
sure,
and you know, and
you
maybe
get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, yes. Some sort of a
dark chocolate port or something
exactly.
Like that.
Exactly, and just have those three things going together. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, so, you would even yourself out.
I agree with Kendall. This is not like your standard barley wine that you just would drink a lot during the holidays, but it is one that I would break out for a party of friends.
Yeah,
sure. And to just say, here, try a little of this.
Yeah,
but don't drive.
Right,
do a shot
and wash. It's exquisitely made.
This. Yeah,
but you got to watch where you're going next.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was thinking like for the winters and like coastal Atlantic, this will warm your bones.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Serve this around a fire pit. Everybody's hanging out.
Yeah, if Quinn was drinking this instead of Narragansett while they were hunting Jaws, it would not have gone in a whole different direction.
Yeah.
Although they could have thrown a can of this overboard and the Jaws
shark?
Had gotten it. Might have had a happy ending.
Maybe.
I've seen a shark with a happy ending once. It's not.
Have you now?
It was very nautical.
Oh, the seas were angry that day, my friends.
A lot of froth in the water, you know. A
lot of chum.
Yes.
Ew. Okay.
I'm noticing that even as a wine, like a wine, this is. Even as we've been talking and sipping and it's warmed up, it tastes different than when I first tried it just five minutes ago. So I think it breathes.
That's the great thing about these beers is like, just let it sit for a little bit and sip on it and like, let it change and become the different things it's going to be.
Yeah, but it's definitely a lot. And
or pour it on your script.
I do feel like you should, you know, probably have to sign a registry if you're buying a lot of this, because
I would do a one can limit on this thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That way you get a lot of people enjoying this.
Yeah.
It's good. It's just, wow, I could not drink a full can of this.
It's a load.
It's 16 and more.
I like those extremes sometimes too, you know, like the Black Wednesday and those kinds of things, or those heavy duty ones, but only so much.
So what would we rate this? I think it's a good 4. I really do.
I do think it's interesting. Is a 16-ounce can, like, this would be a beer that I would love to see in maybe what are those, like the 8-ounce, you know, the smaller.
Those little Hoppin' Frog.
Yeah.
Is this the same beer?
No.
It should be a
Summon the Moon Lord.
Double Barrel Through Woven Branches is the next one.
Whoops. Hey, Dave and Juliana, what are you guys doing for the rest of the day?
Apparently drinking
a couple cans of Summon the Moon Lord.
Oh, man.
Okay.
And so then the next it was one, Tuesday.
Yeah, right? Okay, so the next one that we are going to talk about, now that I'm pouring the right
can.
If
one of you guys wants to, you know, just pound that while it's open already.
Wow. The next one that we're going to talk about is, well, you know, this one's 10% ABV. Wow. So there's that. This is a double barrel True Woven Branches. It is a dark lager blend. So it's 50% double oaked Schwartz beer, which the Schwartz beer was fooder aged for 6 months and then finished in bourbon barrels for 16 months. Then 25% black lager, which is aged in stainless for 3 months. Then 25% double oaked lager wine.
When I put it in my mouth, it spread all over. It really adds to the experience of it.
Say more.
I don't know what to say after that. The lager wine was fooder aged for 5 months and then finished in port barrels for 9 months. And then the whole thing was blended and aged for an additional 12 months in freshly emptied rye whiskey barrels.
This is an episode. This is a special Sip Suds and Smokes episode of Brewers Gone Wild.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is something Andrew Zimmern would appreciate.
So, I think of the four that we've tried, this one, they have gone through more blending and just interesting tricks.
I think you suckered us in with those first two beers. Yeah. You're like, oh, they just make, you know, beer. You know, they're
doing I'm going
stuff.
To give you a barley wine that makes you forget half a day.
I do like this one.
Check your glucose levels.
It is not drinking. I mean, you can smell the alcohol on it, but it doesn't come across that hot.
I like the very subtle. I'm guessing it's from the port.
The wininess.
That sort of like wine character. It's subtle.
Yeah, I haven't tasted it yet. I'm just enjoying the nose of it. I mean, it's really interesting.
But then the...
It smells fruity.
But then do you get any of the spiciness from the rye?
I'm not. I'm getting a lot of fruitiness. And
I'm mostly getting the fruitiness.
Incredibly light body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you say it's a Schwarzbier?
Well, it's part Schwarzbier.
The 50%.
It's a dark lager.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know.
It's got some Schwarzbier.
Yeah, there's I would expect some more toastiness, roastiness to this. No. And not, it's not, it's like barely, you have to look for it.
It's like fruit and chocolate.
Yes, 100%.
How many other beers have you had like this, where it's half a Schwarzbier and then 1/4 lager wine and 1/4
I didn't even know lager wine was a thing.
Nor did I, but after my third sip, I just kind of left it there for a second, and I swear to God, alcohol fumes came out of my mouth. That's fascinating.
It could have happened,
yeah.
That totally could have happened.
It's big, and it's so sticky.
Yeah. But it goes down easy.
Yeah.
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 It's big, it's fruity, it's winey.
It's weird because I got more of the roastiness off of the nose than the flavor of it at all.
Yeah. Right. It's not in the flavor. Yeah.
It almost reminds me of like a chocolate covered berry or something like that, because there's fruit, but it's all wrapped around, and like at the very end there's that chocolate.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be back in just a minute with more.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. So today's episode is a brewery takeover of Elder Pond Brewing and Blending in Gaithersburg, Maryland, that was brought to us by Reverend Mark,
dun, dun, dun.
A prodigal son who's come back for a visit. And the crowd has gone wild, as they should be. So right before the break, we have been diving into some big beers here, and right before the break, we were talking about the double barrel through Woven Branches, which is a really, like we were talking about it during the break, that we have never had anything like this before.
God,
so,
Almighty, I'm not part of this.
Except that we are part of this. It is the most interesting blended beer I think I have ever had in my entire life. So 50% double oaked Schwarzbier. Okay.
Double oaked.
Right.
I don't single oak stuff, okay?
No. So, right, which is just crazy. And then 25% black lager, which hasn't been oaked. And then a double oaked lager wine. That's 25%. So that makes your 100% in case you're keeping up. And wow. I mean, just wow. So, Reverend Mark, what would you pair this beer with?
One thing that comes to me, at least I would see, a nice stacked Reuben. A marble fruit.
I think that's always a good answer for everything. Yeah. I like where your head's at. And that's now I want corned beef right now.
Yeah, I'd want some acid because there's right here is, and I mean, you know, just
to go with the sandwich
within the sandwich itself, just so to have the kraut and just maybe a beet slaw or something to kind of counteract a little of the sweet here. It's not overly sweet, but I think it still has a malt aspect to it that would just really go nice with some fatty and acidy. Kinds of food.
I think Sparky. I think Sparky just had a happy ending. Just went to another place. I
have to change my britches after this one, guys.
It takes a while to get the whole thing into your mouth.
Or not.
Or if you wanted to take it in the sweet direction with some kind of praline.
Nah, let's stick with the Reuben.
Yeah, I'm going with the Reuben myself.
I don't know, maybe like something fatty with like a cheesecake or something.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I like the, with the chocolate and the berry.
Yeah.
Just give me a simple slice of plain cheesecake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sparky's going to need a moment.
Or two, right? Wow.
I was just thinking of my favorite Reubens. I was kind of going through the
reel in my head.
Do you have a favorite Reuben here in town, or do you travel for a good Reuben? Oh, man.
I
don't think we have anything not really, here, right?
No. I mean, Bill's Sandwich Palace has done from time to time a solid Reuben, maybe Fat Belly Pretzel once or twice. You know, I was raised mostly in East Tennessee, and there's this great place called Sam and Andy's, which steams their sandwiches. There's this amazing story. Like, basically, there's this whole culture in Knoxville of steaming sandwiches, hoagies. It's an amazing history, how it all started. That was always just to me like a seminal Reuben. So good. To me, you just can't beat like Shapiro's up in Indy. You know, some great Jewish.
I knew that's the place you were going to say.
It's a good place.
Well, that's because it is a really good place.
Cats, or, you know, if you're up in Chicago, Nashville was always like half-assed to begin with here. And now it's a shadow of a shadow of a shadow.
Yeah.
No, I miss Nashville.
I know. Really? I used to take my team there to eat once a month. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
I used to go there in the morning after doing like a double shift. I'd go there, and even though like we would get there right before it was okay to serve alcohol, but because they knew us and we were regulars.
I mean, technically it's illegal right now, but you know, well, you guys seem okay.
So like we would walk in, we would go to our favorite table, which was like the one in the, like you go all the way in. No, in the back. And as soon as we would sit down, like, granted, the only beer available at the time would be Sierra Nevada's Pale Ale, a round of that, and that would get us started.
You know, so Robert Plant used to go there all the time.
Did he really?
Yeah. Like, there was a period of time, I guess, where he was recording here. He was there, like, constantly. I had some friends in the days before Instagram and stuff like that.
The house your friends used to own, that's the house he rented in Green Hills for a while.
Yeah. Whoa.
That's
where he did. The year that he recorded with
Alison Krauss, Raising Sand.
Yeah. Nice. Because he was in France doing a fellowship. And so he took the whole family with him, and he rented his house, which was like very like, how crazy is that?
That's crazy.
And then it comes to find out, he didn't realize until afterwards when he came home
that Robert Plant has been living in his house.
Because there was a sand shark in the bathtub.
I was going to say like, thank God it was like older, more mature Robert Plant and not Zeppelin at the, you know.
But there was lovely note and some things left for, and he just was like,
yeah, rock and roll cool written across the wall and poop, you know?
And I just was like,
my couch is out of the window. Why?
But how freaking cool was that? I'm just
TV saying. Was in the backyard. Yeah. You know?
Okay. Yeah. So, sorry. What are we going to rate the double barrel through Woven Branches?
I think you got to go.
Yes, I think we got to go 5-2. Okay, so we do have time for a final offering, the little bonus beer, and it's called.
Whoa!
Yep.
What's happening? What is it? What are we doing?
What are you? Okay?
Oh, it's just wow! I wasn't.
This
expecting
is called
that.
Empyrumatic, and forgive me if I'm not saying it correct. This one is neat, okay? I'm going to say this one is really neat. This one is 5.5% ABV. It is a smoked house lager.
Okay.
With Lapsang Souchong tea.
Gesundheit.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a pine wood smoked black tea.
So wow. Beechwood smoked barley, oak smoked wheat with Saz hops.
I like this.
I got a nice
I agree with Mike.
Yeah. I just on the nose, I was like, before I knew what this was, it's like menthol? What? No.
Pinewood smoked tea.
Hmm. Oh wow, that is something else. That's wild.
I like it.
I love it.
I do too.
I want barbecue to have with this now.
Yep.
Sure.
Or wood fired pizza.
The smokiness is well balanced. It's not overwhelming.
It's not right.
Mm-hmm. No. But it is a very complex and lovely smoking.
It is. It's a nice smoke.
That's like not
some
one note.
There's some layers there.
This is very not complex. Normal.
No, yeah. But in the winter, I could see drinking this all the time. Like, mm-hmm. and kudos to the head brewer that this is his favorite. I commend him, and I'm with him, and I'm wondering if he's got any Eastern European roots, because this, to me, would be something that
this is
the
wild.
Family would be drinking.
And he mentioned that there's just, in his mind, and me too, I agree with him, that there's just not enough of the smoked beers that are just available on the market. I mean, they're there, but you have to really look.
You gotta dig around.
It's only because not too many people are going to try to brew a Rausch beer.
Yeah. You got to go to Texas, Pennsylvania, or New York State.
Yeah.
Or, I guess, Maryland.
Right. Because Maryland is just
sometimes Nashville.
It's an elbow to Pennsylvania, and that
there you go.
Well, I enjoy the Rausch.
It's part of it.
Yeah,
it's part of it. So I totally get it.
Yeah,
yeah. And any kind of like grilled meats. Yeah, this is a 5.
Absolutely.
Oh, for sure. This is a 5. Well, that is going to do it for today. Reverend Mark, thank you so much for bringing these beers. This was such a great treat.
You're awesome.
I'm already planning my next trip.
Yes, that you should. Great.
The All Natty Bo Show.
And here's smiling. Yes, and I'm smiling. Okay. Good old boy Kendall, thank you so much for being here.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
And enjoying us with that great celebration fresh hop beer.
It's the best time of the year.
Isn't it, though? Reverend Mark, thank you so much for bringing this beer and coming along and sharing some time with us.
The holidays would not be the same.
Good old boy Sparky, thanks so much for being here.
It was my pleasure.
Oh, you did that so well. Good old boy Dave.
Kendall, use my time to tell me about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
You want to say goodbye?
No, he used my time.
Okay, fine. This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chugging and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back. Join us for another episode. And keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.